Okay, and welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon on Shake and Wake Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal. I'm also on PSN Radio and SoFlo Radio. I'd like to advertise EPGN Radio, but I haven't heard from Robert Morris in quite a few months. I don't know what's going on with him. Hope he's okay there. Last year, year and a half ago, he had moved out to the bush of Canada, way out there in the woods, and he was in a small community, and he talked about trying to get out there to figure some things out. Don't really know what's going on with him. I talked to him a couple times in the last... don't know when the last time. I'd have to look at my Skype. Last time I spoke to him there. Let's see. Well, the last message I got from him was January 25th. And I think we spoke a few months before that. Doesn't say. October, last time I spoke to him. Just checking the Skype there. He said he was going through some depression in there, and he got out there to the bush and got out with a bunch of like-minded people in a small community. I don't know, maybe. I think he said 800 to 1,000 people. Hi there, Chug. Phyllis and everyone else. And I don't know what's going on with him. He was going through some depression, some tough times there. I hope nothing's happened to him. I'd like to be able to get on that station again, but I can't. It's been 2 or 3 months since the last time I was on it. But going to continue on. All the stations are listener supported, so if you let me turn my fan down one thing. Had it up on high. It's getting warm, that's for darn sure. All the stations are listener supported, so if you can help Annie and the rest of them out, please do. I'm going to continue on reading the sexual sabotage. How one mad scientist unleashed a plague of corruption and contagion on America. And I don't know how many pages I can get through today, but I think I had 30 pages left when I looked last week. So, going to try to do what I can do. I do have Judd Witham coming on at 6. So, I don't know if I get through it. I can get through it, but if I can't, hopefully Annie will let me finish it out after Judd gets through at 6. Might not be very long, but we'll have to see. Of course, it's all going to depend on how it goes with me, too. I've gotten some stomach things going on today. Had the little bit of a diarrhea this morning, about 3 times, and it's still kind of runny. And I've had a lot of caffeine, so I might, I don't know, the pee breaks might have quite a few. Going to go back one single paragraph to go over last week's reading. The very fact that young males actually think they need this drug is all by itself alarming, adds reporter Mike Adams. But it's even more alarming to realize that Pfizer appears to be doing very little to restrict the sales of Viagra for recreational use. Independent research confirms that pharmaceutical companies don't care how their drugs are sold or who uses them, even if there's no justified medical use whatsoever, to fatten up their own bank accounts. profiteering from child-adult sex. The Kinsey Institute's claim that children are sexual from birth helped create libertine sex laws that legalized adult pornography, which putrefied into child pornography. Pedophiles, pornographers, and most sexologists and sex educators argue that once Big Pharma immunizes child, once Big Pharma immunizes children against venereal diseases and pregnancy, kids can have sexual relations. Hetero, homo, bi, group, oral, and anal, without consequences. To unravel the agenda and outcomes of the pedophile lobby, again, follow the money. In 2003, the Kinsey Institute built on tortuous child sex experiments published sexual development in childhood. Child sexual experiments published sexual. I just read that. A product of the pornography pharmacology connection. The marketing strategy of this deadly collaboration is to give children legal access to pornography, as in some sex education classes today, so they will have sex with each other and adults, and to vaccinate children for venereal diseases and even pregnancy, thereby preventing unfortunate consequences of such abnormal behavior. This was and is a business partnership made in hell. The Kinsey Institute's Libido Experiments and Its Sexual Development in Childhood book are allied marketing tools for pedophiles, and the SIC. I forgot what that stands for now. I know it means something. I forgot what it was. SIC. Somebody remembers from last week, please tell me. Both would retail children's sexuality on the open market. Both would seek to lower the age of consent and increase pornography addiction. SIC libido traffickers are profiteers whose promiscuity sexed programs dangerously exploit, even kill children via resulting abortions, STDs, HIV, AIDS, pregnancy, and dangerous vaccinations against venereal diseases. Raking in huge profits, the venereal disease vaccines are known to increase neurological impairments in some children that require pharmacological intervention for life. Everything made by Big Pharma is a requirement for life, pretty much. Though a few parents knew the need for hepatitis B vaccines in their lifetime, these shots are already mandated for vulnerable infants and children. Many more STD vaccines for genital herpes, syphilis, and gonorrhea are moving down the pipeline for children. For years, the SIC something industrial complex, I remember that now, sexual industrial complex maybe, hid the fact that multiple partner sex breeds the human papillomavirus, HPV, and most sexually transmitted viruses, which cause about 70% of cervical cancers and painful contagious genital warts. About 20 million Americans, sorry, some of these words she splits on two different lines, and it's hard to tell what the word is until I read it three times. About 20 million Americans have some form of HPV. Merck Pharmaceuticals, in fact, in 2005 announced Gardasil, an HPV vaccine, that is 100% effective in the short term at blocking the HPV and lesions likely to turn cancerous. I see this is a phenomenal breakthrough, said Gloria Bachman, MD, director of the Women's Health Institute at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School in New Brunswick. You have to get students in grammar school, middle school, high school vaccinated before they become sexually active, she said. Indeed, Merck would inoculate babies and children against diseases that would shortly be inflicted on them by pedophiles. Unfortunately, since the fanfare heralded during a mass media blitzkrieg for Gardasil, there have serious side effects laid at the feet of the vaccine. By 2009, there were nearly 600 serious events reported, including 20 deaths attributed to Gardasil. Federal government gives millions of Cancer Institute and thus a Planned Parenthood and Sexology. If Sexology's dance cards are no longer empty, the Kinsey Institute is the most popular partner at the dance. Its dance card overflows with names of government and corporate suitors. A preliminary study of the Institute reveals that roughly 90% of its federal, state, and corporate research grants involve uncovering hotter sex through chemistry. Both the exogenous chemistry of Big Pharma and endogenous brain chemistry stimulated by seeing and hearing pornography. Pornographers, sex pill pushers, and state and federal budget appropriators are lining up to cut a rug with the Kinsey Institute swingers. Standard Institute classification codes. No, this was something different. Phyllis, sorry, this was something different. Search up sexual sabotage in SIC. Maybe that'll come up. Sexologists who credentialed themselves as health professionals had become the scientific authorities for all scholarly information about the libido. Thus, they control virtually all sexuality research and information. If their pseudoscience, say arousal experiments, toxic pornography, is the methodology of choice. But we know by definition that Kinsey Institute and other sexology professionals are clinically conditioned to pornographic stimuli and its triggers. Addictive sexuality commonly stems from the insult, from this insult to the brain. Considering their early and ongoing pornographic conditioning, it is not surprising that many, if not most, of today's sexperts also work with pornographic and/or pedophile magazines, and several like John Money, Wardell Pomeroy, and the IASHS and its graduates have publicly advocated for early promiscuous sex for and with children. Such deviants are deeply involved in the business of marketing child sex. The scientific basis of this business was Kinsey, whose frauds exposed only his psychopathology. To study women's arousal to pornography, the Kinsey Institute eagerly hijacked roughly $711,000 from the National Institute of Child Health and Development, NICHD. Though the Institute's original abstract cited the sexual nature of this grant, they later deleted language about sexual arousal and pornography from the grant application. by deliberately falsifying both its research methods and its purpose. The Kinsey Institute got the better part of $1 million from the federal government, monies that should have gone to children's health. Eventually, it came to light that the sexologist had hijacked the children's health money to profit the SIC. Angry that the National Institute of Health, NIH, granted $263,038 to the Kinsey Institute over the past 5 years, Representative Mark Sauder, Republican, Indiana, said, Kinsey and his associates, at the very least, encouraged the rape and molestation of children under the guise of science. I would hope that an institute dedicated to child health would be primarily focused on protecting children from sexual abuse, a mission inconsistent, in my opinion, with providing support for any institution built upon Kinsey's hideous legacy. Reporter Robert Stacy McCain reported legislators protest over SIC grants in the Washington Times. Representative Dave Weldon, Republican, Florida, denounced the NICHD's decision to fund a Northwestern University study to determine what types of audiovisual erotica women find sexually arousing. A House subcommittee demanded information about the NICHD grant of $137,000 for a study to provide the most comprehensive picture to date of the sexual behavior of aging men. House members asked Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson to explain how the study will benefit children afflicted with pediatric diseases. House Republicans complained about $26,000 NICHD grant for a sexual arousal conference at the Kinsey Institute. Reporter McCain quoted Representative Jeff Flake, Republican, Arizona, saying, "If this conference needs funding, they ought to hit up pornographer Larry Flint, not taxpayers." Yeah, I agree there, but, you know, they shouldn't have any money. A list of direct public funds, 1986 to 2004, totaled $5,396,338. Public monies continued to flood this disgraceful institution after 2004. Congressional investigators disclosed that NICHD fleeced $263,038 in research grants from deserving children to give to the Kinsey Institute in 5 years. Regarding one NIH study of women's responses to pornographic videos, Representative Dave Weldon, Republican, Florida, said he asked NICHD 3 years ago to study whether the measles, mumps, and rubella MMR vaccine was associated with autism. Weldon said the NIH couldn't find the money to look into this relationship between kids with regressive autism and the mandatory MMR vaccine. But they can pay people $150,000 to watch pornography. While the NIH serves a Kinsey click, the NICHD pilfers children's funds for favored libidinous Anilhis. From 1981 to 1989, former Kinsey Institute director June Reinisch received three grants for over $3 million from the NIH, and she too got money from the NICHD. In 1989, the Chicago Tribune reported that the NIH investigation found the use of the NICHD funds to be highly questionable. Reinisch's bank account was seized and closed as a result of the initial internal review conducted by the university. As of the date of this writing, there has been no subsequent information released. When a federal committee challenged the Kinsey Institute's funding, the institute responded saying it was studying women's mood during arousal by pornography. There was no scientific trial. Though no scientific trial can adequately assess a mood, the bogus study passed the scrutiny of Indiana University's Internal Review Board, IRB, for human experimentation and the peer review process. Since the sexology field is built on Kinsey, the sexperts who do peer reviews for grants and publications tend to be SIC lackeys. Congress would never give money earmarked for the children's health to sex research unless the sex lobby was as powerful as it is. So the IRBs approve the plunder as big sexology steals taxpayers' money from children to create the private profits from pills and perfumes that can abnormally heighten arousal in females exposed to pornography. Even legitimate science, which this is not, too often bears the taint of bias, personal agendas, and special interest financing. For example, Martin Sturman, MD, reported on university researchers and educators sabotaging for Big Pharma. 94% are of the more than 5,000 students at the NIH were engaged in lucrative conflict of interest activities, and that top officials had received over $2.5 million in fees and stock options and drug companies over the past decade. In 2002, the pharmaceutical industry spent $91.4 million on federal lobbying activities, and at least another $50 million was spent to influence Congress and others through advertising, direct mail, telemarketing, and grants. Drug companies had 675 registered lobbyists, and 26 of these were former members of Congress. Built on Kinsey's frauds, most of big sexology's human sexuality professionals are irreparably compromised. Beyond their individual histories, experiences, and pathologies, they are beholden to a very powerful lobby in big pornography, big pharma, and big sexology, riddled with lucrative congruent interest. The SIC clearly faces a conflict of interest between its own greed and the public welfare. Should state funding of the Kinsey Institute's sexual research end? Yes, a proper American investigation should finally take place, a congressional and grand jury investigation to examine the evidence of deliberate sexual sabotage and child torture. Although taxpayers fund the Kinsey Institute at more than $750,000 a year, plus salaries and added resources, the Institute is cloaking in secrecy. VIP tours are squired by a Kinsey watchdog. Indiana State Senator John Waterman was banned from viewing Kinsey's Morris Hall. He and Representative Woody Burton called for defunding the Kinsey clan. No public funds should be used to operate or support institutions that further the claim made by Alfred Kinsey's research. To date, the power behind the Kinsey sabotage has managed to forestall defunding and public condemnation. In 1930, J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller had greater assets than the total wealth of 21 states of the Union. Their influence was so great that Morgan and Rockefeller groups, acting together, could have wrecked the economic system of the country. They could almost control its political life, at least on the federal level. Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, 1966. I think I'll take the first break right here. Let me see. About a 4 minute, 13 second song. Real Lives, Marching On. Be right back, folks. Okay, and welcome back in for the break there. I tried to search the PDF what that means, but I couldn't find anything. So, if somebody remembers, please help me out. With powerful foundation allies like Rockefeller and Ford, the Kinsey Institute was insulated from investigation and exposure for over half a century. In a 1988 interview with E. Michael Jones, Paul Gephardt said, "Anything that was confidential is hidden, even from friendly researchers." But what material is so confidential that it must be hidden? Does Kinsey describe his own pederasty or pedophilia? Question mark. Does he reveal his Nazi sympathizers? His Nazi sympathies and his eugenicist agenda? Question mark. What is in the thousands of letters to and from Kinsey mentioned by James Jones? Nonchalantly, fearlessly, the Kinsey Institute published lies disguised as science. Nonetheless, the Institute, Indiana University, and the boards of directors of both persevere, fully aware of Kinsey's addiction to sadomasochism, pornography, and bogus data in the child sex crimes in his studies. It makes sense that the mad scientist of big sexology leads the sex research race. This is in keeping with its long history of lust and crime, its mass child sexual abuse, and its unapologetic cover-up of atrocities. For example, Dr. Alveda King's Black Pro-Life Movement says Planned Parenthood panders promiscuity to support their agenda of murder. Abortion Dynasty profits from killing black babies. My earlier book documents Kinsey's attack, eugenic attack on the black community. Kinseyan experiments. The work of Kinsey continues undeterred, funded by federal and state agencies, and conduct sex, drug, pornography, and libido experiments. Add the SIC profits from any erotic discovery, a conflict of interest for any research institution. Tax-funded universities are mandated to serve public health. But Indiana University's Kinsey Institute, like many others, uses pornography on volunteers who cannot give informed consent to the research, because neither the volunteers nor the researchers really understand what they are doing. Nor can their alleged studies be guaranteed if senators are banned from the premises. Tainted, presumably addicted by their own long-term pornography exposure, these scholars are additionally unable to warrant their subjects of the erotoxic, neurotoxic effects on the brain. Who sends rape records to the Kinsey Institute? The 2004 Fox film Kinsey yielded a fresh twist. Following the movie, the Kinsey Institute's Liana Zhao, in charge of the Institute's collections, announced that a 91-year-old woman, one of Kinsey's subjects 50 years earlier, had mailed in another of her sex records. When he interviewed people, he encountered them to record their subsequent behavior. Self-stimulation, any kind of sexual contact. Show told the Kinsey filmmakers for 50 some years, ever since she was interviewed, she's been reporting. But who else has been reporting? Show admitted that other Kinsey subjects will send records of their sex acts to the Institute. Kinsey encouraged them to send photographs and cinema to aid science, of course, but these encouraged participants include rapists, incest offenders, pedophiles, pederasts, and even sex murderers. Kinsey said he interviewed 21,000 people, although he trashed all but 4,500 of his specially selected subjects, interviews many thousands of encouraged psychopaths likely continue to mail records to their criminal sexual conduct. Indeed, incestuous predators are often generational, passing on their traditions through their damaged progeny. Despite the smokescreen that continues to obscure the real Kinsey from public understanding, even Indiana University admits that these sex industries hero used pedophile rapes for his data. Rapists must still be sending their diaries and data to the Kinsey Institute. Their behavior is addictive. It does not stop. Perhaps they even passed on the Kinsey torch to other predators, even to their own progeny, since pedophile devotion to self-serving science knows no bounds. In the British documentary, Kinsey's Pedophiles, Jonathan Gathorn Hardy said Kinsey received accounts of sex abuse from the five headmasters of the boys' schools in the Princeton, New Jersey area. These headmasters, who sodomized students, claimed the boys definitely enjoyed the experiences. How long were these records sent to the Kinsey Institute and filed away for future use? Are they still? Without a doubt, the Kinsey cult encouraged and covered up sex crimes, from rape and incest to sadistic murder, for decades. How many sex crimes does the Kinsey Institute keep on file as evidence? Hundreds? Thousands? Mad academic writers on Kinsey's sexual development in childhood. As noted earlier, not only did the Kinsey Institute republish both Kinsey books in 1998 without apology or admission of crime. In 2003, after 5 decades of spewing its black propaganda, the Kinsey Institute published its seminal work of propaganda, Sexual Development in Children. The sinister plan was clear. Children are sexual from birth. Some of the sexpert authors of childhood were openly pro-pedophile. Almost uniformly, they scorned traditional American morality, normalcy, and childhood sexual innocence. The foundations for the frauds in the Kinsey Institute new influential publication had not changed in 50 years. The sexpert covered up Kinsey's pornography addiction, sadism, and child sex crimes, and rejected the premise of puberty as a natural time for normal sexual awakening. A teaching text, sexual development in childhood promotes the harmlessness of childhood sexuality. Yet even the term is an oxymoron, a political ploy to lull the populace into believing that these two words belong in the same sentence, much less paired together. The evidence to date finds for childhood to include sexuality. Someone must intrude upon childhood innocence, since absent sex hormones, child sexual behavior from puberty is entirely unnatural. Even the book's title is propaganda. The W.T. Grant Foundation funded a special conference for the then Kinsey Institute director, John Bancroft, M.D., who recruited 45 like minds to contribute to sexual development in childhood, in a choice that reveals his stance on aggressive pedophile promotion. Bancroft selected several pedophile activists for the book. In his introduction to the childhood volume, Bancroft attacked Congress for condemning a brazenly biased study that concluded with a harmlessness assessment of child sexual abuse. Interviewed for the Yorkshire television documentary, Kinsey's Pedophiles, Dr. Bancroft argued that to avoid ignorance, some child sexual abuse could be scientifically acceptable. You're just stuck up and old. That's all you are, people. Just accept it. That's what a lot of these people are saying, in my opinion. Of the book's assorted Kinsey invitees, none condemned or questioned Kinsey's child sex abuse methodology. Nor any other aspect of the original reports. None asked that the child victimization be published so that survivors could seek redress, compensation, therapy, or even simply notification to help them clear up mysteries about their past. Indeed, the authors were in lockstep, except for one. Dennis Fortenberry, M.D., a professor of pediatrics and medicine, tried to rein in the group's narcissistic delusions. Our history as professionals over the past 100 years has been to be wrong more often than we've been right, he pointed out. I'm just very nervous about succumbing to the temptation to speak as arbiters of normalcy. But he was alone. All agreed that all sexual varieties, except abstinence, are normal. They ignored Fortenberry's counsel and proceeded. Bancroft allowed no criticism to past errors by sex experts, so all of the contributors participated in covering up Kinsey's crimes against children. While conference attendees were concerned about the current hysteria over sex offenders, this concern was about protecting criminals, not preventing or catching them. We know that some of the attendees, the authors of the sexual development in children, committed crimes of their own. Those with particularly egregious backgrounds. who revealed their own sexual disorders or committed crimes deserve special notice. John Money of the Journal of Pedophilia stands out as the main proponent of juvenile sex change operations. Indeed, the ghoulish cut-and-paste operations continue based on the notion that one's biological sex can be altered at will. On January 24, 2010, the British Daily Mail reported that the British Health Services will pay for a 16-year-old boy to get a 10,000-pound sex change operation. The lad, who just turned 16, was approved by a psychologist for surgery to remove his sexual organs. Excuse me. The lad, who just turned 16, was approved by a psychologist for surgery to remove his sexual organs, followed by hormonal treatments. My, the Taxpayers Alliance did protest that the cost cannot be justified, while other patients are denied life-saving cancer treatment. They have a point. Also, other sex change patients warned. The boy was too young for this irreversible procedure. Moving right along, other attendees included Julia Hyman, PhD, mentioned earlier as the current Kinsey Institute director, who continued as a sexpert for the Internet Sinclair Institute pornography, the product of which Dr. Hyman served as a spokeswoman, included sadomasochistic videos and bondage equipment, including handcuffs, as well as pornographic materials promoting anal sodomy. As the date of this writing, the Sinclair Institute had removed its expert advisors list. However, Hyman's Kinsey Institute vitae still read Professional Advisory Council, 1993 to present. Philip Jenkins, PhD, Anglican scholar and historian, whitewashed Kinsey for the history books. PhD's Ank Earnhardt and Suzanne Fraser were students of the cited pedophile lobbyist John Money. NIH Director Dwayne Alexander, MD, used his children's funds to support Money's ghoulish sex change operations. Money has a special room devoted to him at the Kinsey Institute. They all would have known that Money forced a boy to perform homosexual acts on his twin brother that he filmed, and he wanted to eliminate age of consent laws, and that he said if boy dies in a sadomasochistic ritual, the killer should perhaps be free if there was consent to the ritual pact. Money's disciple, Ank Earnhardt, PhD, the HIV director, behavioral studies, New York State Psychiatric Institute, was a childhood contributor. She said there is no genetic gender, and sexologists must decide the facts of child sexuality and instruct the public. Suzanne Fraser, PhD, past president of the Society of the Scientific Study of Sexuality, thought without early sex children are likely to be sexually and emotionally disordered. Childhood innocence was a fable. Auspiciously, children are free to enjoy masturbation, oral sex, and sexual desire or activity, says Fraser. Gilbert Hurt, PhD, anthropologist, Director of Human Sexuality Studies, San Francisco State University. Yeah, no surprise there. A public pedophile advocate and lobbyist for the Journal of Pedophilia said childhood should be resisted at all costs. since child sexuality was normal in the Journal of Pedophilia, Hurt said the age of consent should be 6 or 7 to 9.5. In gay and lesbian youth, he said, childhood sex with adults is helpful. For that reason, he was pleased homosexuals. Homosexuals have been institutionalizing socialization techniques for the transmission of its cultural knowledge to a younger generation. Michael Bailey, PhD, psychologist, head of the Northwestern University's psychology department, cut NIH pornography funds and was caught in exploitative sex with a transvestite subject, used in his book, Absent the Subject's Information Consent. I'm sorry, Subject's Informed Consent. In childhood, Bailey largely debunked the notion of child sex trauma. He said gay boys of 12 and 13 wanted sex with adults because the boys would become gay anyways. Eric Jansen, PhD, an Indiana University sexuality professor, organized a 4-day Kinsey Institute conference in 2003, funded by NIH, at which Jansen honored TWO, Journal of Pedophilia editors, lobbyists, Theo Sanford and Vern Bullock. As lead speakers, Jansen reiterated the Kinsey dogma that there exists no such thing as normal, so children's rejection of sexual abuse may just reflect adult expressions. Like others in the organized pedophile lobby, Jansen opined that children could not really be sexually abused because we don't know what makes a sexual action wrong. True indeed, how could these corrupt Caligulas and Neros know right, wrong or right, normal or abnormal? Topsy-turvy world, folks. Jerome Cerny, PhD, at Indiana University, psychology professor, fired for molesting male students while showing them his NIH-funded pornography, later worked for the Kinsey Institute, where he conducted more pornography studies. Cerny was convicted of felony abuse, lewd and immoral conduct during homosexual pornography experiments on vulnerable students in Indiana University when he was welcomed to the Kinsey Institute as a premier sexologist. More mad modern sexologists. Since Kinsey, sexology has become a hugely popular academic discipline. Hundreds of thousands count themselves as professional sexologists, therapists, educators, researchers, and scores of American and international academic institutes offer sexuality degrees. What does one do with a degree in sex? Well, that depends. Some publish papers and books on topics such as a telemetric method for registration of vaginal sexual response. Some travel the speaking circuit to promote the loving nature of most father-daughter incest. Some teach about sex in colleges, high schools, and grammar schools under the guise of AIDS prevention, tolerance, or hate crimes. Some are sex addiction or relationship therapists. Some merely help develop sexual stimulation aids, such as the clinical pyranometer, which strengthens the muscles that tighten the anus. And some work for the sex industry complex as consultants, lobbyists, advocates, and expert witnesses. Regardless of the speciality, sexologists commonly shill for pornography, bisexuality, bestiality, fisting, all sodomies, homosexuality, transvesticism, sadomasochism, prostitution, pedophilia, and pederasty. All will, while performing Kinsey's no harm mantra. Aside from their value as endorsers of the SIC, maybe the SIC is sex industrial complex. I'm thinking that's what it is. The thing that keeps sexologists in business is that they legitimize sexual deviancy. So the field, led by mad sexual psychopaths, continue to seek nothing less than absolute sexual license. The normalization and legalization of all allegedly consensual sex acts through the media rarely reports on such aims. I think I'll, if I could find my pen, mark my spot. Here. And take the second break. So, let me see here. I think a couple of short songs. Be right back in about a little over 5 minutes, everyone. Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the show here. I thought I marked my spot and I couldn't find it, but there it is. So please, everybody, if you can donate, help Annie out, that would be deeply appreciated. And all the other stations, too. The truly scary part. I don't know if I'll get through this this hour or not, but definitely going to try. The truly scary part, ? Most of its efforts have been successful. They have gutted or dramatically laxed the laws that require men to behave honorably, protecting women and children. And that actually permitted women, thereby, to be women. School curricula commonly condone therapeutic porn, homosexuality, transvesticism, and oral and anal sodomy. Infants and children receive STD vaccinations. Pornography has spawned a child pornography avalanche. Children produce their own pornography, sending nude pictures of themselves over cell phones and the internet. In an economic downturn, we see youngsters voluntarily selling their bodies, which have significant worth on the open market. In such a climate, the sex slave trade of yesteryear has made a frightening comeback. The ostensibly scientific judgment of sexologists have justified all of this. This, of course, begs the question, how in the world has this ridiculous pseudo-scientific field achieved even a modicum of authority, let alone a place in the modern university? That Kent, despite Kinsey's madness, authorities cite him widely. That Kinsey was a pathological voyeur, an exhibitionist, and a sadomasochist, descending at times in his masochistic moods into outright lunacy. is no longer open to dispute. Yet, as mentioned earlier, in 1998, Indiana University and the Kinsey Institute, backed by the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations, republished Kinsey's two original reports without corrections, disclaimers, or warnings, fearing nothing that the Kinsey lobby has a solid lock on academic publications, mass media, and therefore the national mind. So thousands of history, sociology, anthropology, law, health, medical education, psychology, and sexology textbooks and professors still regurgitate Kinsey's frauds and allegations as gospel. An analysis of the Social Science Citation Index and the Science Citation Index. Wait a minute. An analysis of the Social Science Citation Index and the Science Citation Index, 1982 through 2006, reveals that Kinsey has more than double any other luminary in the relevant fields. Sigmund Freud, Abraham Maslow, Margaret Mead, none of them compare. Westlaw, the most widely used database for law review journals and cases, began recording in 1982. A preliminary search in Westlaw from 1982 to 2000 yields over 2,000 citations to Alfred Kinsey. No sexperts compare, while the Social Science Citation Index, the Science Citation Index, and the Westlaw also find double Kinsey cites to those of Masters and Johnson. Remember, computerized records began early in the 1980s, whereas Kinsey's initial impact on our laws and social conduct occurred between 1948 and 1960. An educated guess is what Kinsey's fraudulent data controlled 95% of all college texts, reports, essays, and opinion on sexuality from 1948 until today. The Literature of Modern Sexology. Briefly, Ed Brecker, Ph.D., lead authority on the influential Consumers Union report on licit and illicit drugs, 1972, cheerfully repeated in 1969 that Kinsey's affectionate child molesters often contributed favorably to their victims' later sociosexual development. Brechter regurgitated that popularized Kinseyan phrase and its attendant dogma that the child predators are not the problem. Parents' overreactions are the problem. Further parroting Kinsey, Brechter wrote, I gotta put something on here. My TV's gonna go blank if I don't. Give me a few seconds here. Okay. Brechter wrote, "The emotional reactions of the parents, police officers, and other adults, the current hysteria over sex offenders may very well have serious effects on the ability of many of these children to work out sexual adjustments some years later in their marriages." Well, there you have it. Blame the victims. The famous team of Masters and Johnson said they stand on Kinsey's shoulders, wrote Ira Race, University of Minnesota sexology professor, in his college textbook, and Into Shame, Shaping Our Next Sexual Revolution, adding that Kinsey shocked this country with an amazing find, that erection and lubrication occurred even in newborn infants. Endorsed by SIECUS, the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy, and popular child sex propagandist Saul Gordon, PhD, Reese cited social scientists like Boston therapist Larry Constantine, PhD, and Minnesota sociologist Floyd Martinson, PhD. Both pedophile advocates demanding legalized incest and child pornography. Like other sexologists, Reese did not disclose this real reason for sexualizing children. Martinson reports that sexologist mantra that the girl infant's lubrication at signs of a baby boy's erection is a sign of sexual readiness. But in girls, all bodily passages are naturally lined with mucosa, including the nose and vagina. And in boys, the reflexive, nervous, and vascular reactions of the penile response to many biological stimuli, as urinary buildup, friction, infections, and especially fear and terror. These are biologically natural and non-sexual states. But sexology-trained people sexualize everything. At the same time, they deliberately ignore the frightening sex stimuli, such as sex abuse and pornography can prematurely disturb, emotionally arouse, and physically traumatize children. Could these sexologists truly have been ignorant of such basic biological facts? Question mark. Or are Reese and his colleagues simply captives to the same pedophile lusts? Like Kinsey, to fulfill their own deviant agendas. They wanted to prove infant sexuality and erroneously used infant erection and lubrication to do so. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it, no matter how big it is. English professor James Kincaid, PhD's book, Child Loving, reiterates Kinsey's straight line between children and adult sexuality. Alas, said Kincaid, Kinsey's brilliance and clarity are not sufficiently honored. Hence, he quotes Kinsey as a critic and reformer. It is probable that half or more of the boys in an uninhibited society could reach climax by the time they were 3 or 4 years of age, and that nearly all of them could experience such a climax 3 or 4 times before the onset of adolescence. He added that Kinsey has a great deal of sympathy in his uninhibited society and an equal amount of scorn for the one around him. That's it for Kincaid as a sexology critic. Lenore Boss, PhD, Paul Cameron, PhD, and other Christian sexologists sing from the same Kinseyan hymnal as the group above. And how to talk confidently to your child about sex, for children are sexual beings too. Lenore Boss regurgitate Kinsey's fundamental lie. It may be surprising to realize that our children are sexual beings from birth. For instance, a parent changing the male's infant's diaper may accidentally stimulate the child and be shocked to realize the child is having an erection. Similarly, researchers tell us that baby girls have vaginal lubrication regularly. In fact, a little girl being bounced on her parent's knee may feel pleasant sensations and begin to make natural pelvic thrust movements. Again, Both eroticizes infants. Psychological mucosa and erectile tissue that clearly reflect her study on pro-pedophile essays written by mad sexologist to further molesters' sabotage. In his 1978 book, Sexual Gradualism, Christian sex educator Paul Cameron, PhD, directed parents to have their young children bring current lovers home. Parents should allot a room, privacy, access to a bathroom, a TV, and snacks for their teenagers to practice gradualism. Without fear of adult interference, what was gradualism, Cameron? Cameron spelled it out. Parents should have their children commit escalating levels of sex acts. For early levels, kissing, hugging, and so on are fine. By age 13, breast fondling, manipulating, sucking are appropriate. By age 14, children begin mutual and hand exploration of genitals, mutual masturbation, fingering, rubbing. Then comes total nudity. Next comes oral sex. Anal sodomy is also okay, but sexual intercourse is a no-no. I wonder why. Wonder why they just don't go all out. He's supposedly a... what? A Christian sexologist. That's what it was. After engaging in various perverse acts for years, children must save intercourse for their marriage bed, as if they would or could naturally refrain from intercourse after everything else, since adolescence was okay. So much of Sweet 16 had never been kissed. One does wonder about Cameron's own experience with intimacy avoidance. Scientific fraud is socially destructive. Kinsey's biographers and filmmakers tried to make him a tragic figure who sought only to spread tolerance, a high-minded ethic scientist with no prurient interest of his own. Therefore, they brand those who pull back the sheets and expose the real Kinsey as religious zealots, bigots, and sexually repressed fanatics. But this no longer works. We know too much about Alfred Kinsey now. We know that Kinsey slyly and heinously used the sex habits of deviants to paint an ugly portrait of our greatest generation. Although delusionary, Kinsey cultists still denied the truth about Kinsey's distortions. But we know the truth. The high purpose of science is to discover facts, to improve society, especially the help inform our laws. But beyond exploiting the data collection process of his books, Kinsey made no scientific use of his child pornography, the financial cost of which was borne primarily by the Rockefellers and Indiana University, thus by taxpayers. Kinsey's attic scenes were never available to any other researchers because he, his wife, and followers were recognizable. Blackmail, of course, likely aided Kinsey's agenda for years. Wardell Pomeroy wrote, "The public would have been astonished and disbelieving to know the names of the eminent scientists who appeared in the Institute from time to time to examine our work and talk with Kinsey, and was volunteered before they left to be photographed in some kind of sexual activity." Indeed, as a Tuskegee, as in Tuskegee, the LSD experiments, the Willowbrook scandal, and on, we know that too many psychopaths are passed off as eminent scientists. Indiana University and its public relations apparatus has always protected Kinsey's aggressive, illegal conduct, and many other officials and scholars covered up his crimes during his lifetime. The Kinsey Institute, Indiana University, and other academic institutions, they continue to do so. In 1987, writing in the journal Science, then-editor Daniel E. Koshland, Jr., argued that fraud is unacceptable. All of science, he said, is based on trust. Koshland said any important fraud will become exposed. Yet my scores of letters, phone calls, and faxes to Koshland and Science about Kinsey's fraud, the greatest criminal scientific scandal of all time, have yielded only science, only silence. It means that objective, thoughtful scientists should be on inquiry as to how deep the pedophile cover-up really is. The Office of Scientific Inquiry at the NIH reviewed nearly 100 cases of alleged fraud or misconduct. By 1988, Stephen Bruning, MD, was convicted of a crime and punished for scientific fraud because the prosecutor argued his well-established reputation was considered instrumental in forming public health policy nationally. Several states amended treatment practices as a result. There was no evidence presented in the indictment that a therapy advocated by Bruning actually helped hurt the children, just as the research wasn't done. Promulgating a great fraud, Kinsey and his institute committed much worse crimes. Kinsey's pedophile team deliberately and sexually tortured children. In their grander abuse, they pandered theories that changed human life, behavior, and the culture of the most intimate, personal, and important ways. State and federal funds financed these frauds and crimes, violating the public trust. And despite the decades of cover-up and exposure, the Kinsey Institute continues to receive government monies to perform research today. Newton's Principia launched modern science as the new religion. In 1986, celebrating Principia's 300th anniversary, the illustrious Sir James Lighthill lectured the Royal Society, lamenting the arrogance of modern science in misleading the world about Newton. Lighthill apologized over the angry protests of many of his colleagues. On behalf of the broad global fraternity of practitioners of mechanics, we collectively wish to apologize for having misled the general educated public by spreading ideas that the determinism of systems satisfying Newton's laws of motion that after 1960 were to be proved incorrect and uncovered so late. Sexology's broad global fraternity of practitioners certainly owes the world such an apology. No other scientists have so misled the general educated public with lies that have been proven fatally incorrect, deliberate, and socially catastrophic. It is time to stop the fraud, to correct the record, to amend the law. It is time to stop the flow of funds. It is time. Chapter 15. Yes, recovery is possible. modern science now tells us that there is a little difference in the physical or chemical changes in the pleasure and control centers of the brain, regardless of whether the addiction is from a chemical or an experience. As stated in the journal Science, it is imperative that we treat pornography as sexual addiction with the respect accorded any drug addiction. For as we shall see, that is precisely what it is, Donald L. Hilton, Jr., M.D. He Restoreth My Soul, 2009. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be a cast into hell. Mark 9:47. And I'm going to take a break right here. Let's see. I guess about a 4-minute song. Be right back in a few minutes, everyone. I'm back. Sorry about cutting that song off short. I just decided to try to finish these last 12 pages out. I didn't really need a pee break, so let's continue on. See if I can finish this out. Action item 1. Support from the brain sciences. I know everybody was wondering, what's going on with that song? That was me. Science is now catching up with biblical truth from neurons that wire together. When we have an eye experience, it is wired into our brains. Eventually, whether we want to or not, when we think about or revisualize an event, our memory, our wiring is strengthened for good or ill. This is the road to sex addictions. The wiring of neurons cements memories together with the facts or details related to that memory. In his Sonnet 129, Shakespeare warns that lust leads men to hell. Whether we see, do, think, and dream alerts our brain. Hence, people who view pornography continue to see images embedded in their mind's eye. The image is linked to the network with motoric bodily arousal. The problem has been that seeking freedom in pornography, users instead become enslaved by pornography. By the drug, mainstream media spreads degrading images and stories of hatred and humiliation, blending these with sexual arousal. So-called soft pornography does the same thing, burning and mirroring images into the brain. High-speed internet pornography especially triggers a dopamine, natural polydrug high. All such experiences create neuroplastic changes in the brain. Until the 1980s, the most neurologists believed the brain was hardwired, unable to replenish neurons or create new neural networks after emotional and physical trauma. But the Wall Street Journal science editor, Sharon Begley, reported on the neurological studies that show that the brain can change, and that means we can change with attention and mental effort. In Train Your Mind, Change Your Mind, How a New Science Reveals Our Extraordinary Potential to Transform Ourselves, Begley cites some ways the human brain rewires, expands, and shrinks different areas to make new connections and eliminate others. One reader says the brain can run new cables like an electrician bringing an old house up to code, so that regions that once saw can instead feel or hear. Circuits that were damaged by aberrant activity like depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, and sexual pathologies can be rewired. Great news. Columbia University neuroplastician Norman Doidge, MD, documents brain rewiring in adults and children in the brain that changes itself. Doidge says the pornography epidemic proves sexual taste can be acquired by those driven to exert the mental discipline to rewire the brain. Users, writes Doidge, are seduced into pornographic training sessions, wiring these sex and other images they are into the brain's pleasure centers and changing the brain maps. According to Doidge, the discovery of neuroplasticity, that our thoughts can change the structure and function of our brains, even in old age, is the most important breakthrough in our understanding of the brain in 400 years. NIH researchers trained rats to press a bar until they got a shot of dopamine. The endogenous reward transmitter. The dopamine system is our brain's pleasure center. By hijacking the dopamine system, we get a pleasure hit without working for it. One dose of some addictive drug produces a protein called delta-phos-B and accumulates in the neurons. In the same way, sex images would throw a genetic switch, leading to irreversible damage to the brain's dopamine center, dopamine system, and rendering the animal far more prone to addiction. Doidge says that men using pornography at their computers uncannily resemble caged NIH rats pressing the bar to get their dopamine or equivalent high. Like rats pressured by intense competition, pornography websites produce increasingly shameful, cruel scripts that change users' naive brains. As the brain rewires for novelty, it ignores and bypasses the familiar. As wives and lovers lose their appeal, users lose their natural potency. They need new pictures to trigger the appetitive, hyperactive dopamine spritz. Doidge's research supports survey findings that pornography users increasingly lose relationships and jobs, with withdrawing from the world to live with their pornography collections, says Doidge. What commonly began as a lark now leaves their impotent until they fantasize themselves into a porn script. Impotence, says Doidge. Young healthy males now use Viagra type medicine developed for older men with erectile dysfunction, with erectile problems relating to aging and blocking blood vessels. Impotence means without power, without one's natural potency. If one needs the pictures in one's hand, the story in one's lover doesn't satisfy, one is impotent without natural power. Our excitation system from coitus is delivered to be consummatory producing calming, fulfilling pleasure, releasing endorphins, including oxytocin, which is related to opiates, causing a peaceful, euphoric bliss. But pornography, says Deutsch, hyperactives the appetitive system. Porn viewers develop new maps in their brains based on the photos and videos they see. With a use-it-or-lose-it brain, we tend to keep the brain systems that were intensely activated. The human brain can attach sexual arousal to our pain systems. Severe sadomasochists like Kinsey would have wired painful sensations to their sexual exploitation systems for voluptuous pain. Like Kinsey, some sadomasochists suffer early childhood medical trauma that would have occurred during the critical periods of sexual neuroplasticity. Perhaps science may yet catch up with the hope found in religious faith that with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. It turns out that the same laws of neuroplasticity that allow us to acquire problematic tastes also allow us in intensive treatment to acquire newer, healthier tastes and desires, in some cases even to lose our older, troubling ones. Sex and pornography addictions are addictions. Since the brain operates in use-it-or-lose-it mode, where lust is concerned, total abstinence from exterior lust imagery can begin the long voyage to health and well-being. Like all other 12-step addiction recovery programs, for most people who have successfully overcome obsessions, this also appears to be to require a commitment to God, to a higher power, to relevant others, perhaps even meditation. Addicts have not been known to gain sobriety alone. Action item 2, challenging the sexology status quo. Despite the revelations about Kinsey's incalculable impact on our daily lives, many questions remain. These questions are legitimate and important, and we need to ask them and to demand answers. Pressing for a discussion of the foundations of modern sexology is one way to unravel its grasp on our lives. I encourage you to challenge our doctors, courts, legislators, teachers, mass media, clergy, and others with questions. Action item 3. Correct the legal record. Certainly ample evidence indicates that Kinsey's fraud actively harmed both children and society and was instrumental in forming public health policy nationally. As the NIH prosecutor alleged in one case of Dr. Bruning, therefore, the Kinsey Institute and Indiana University must be held similarly accountable for their actions and omissions, for their willing cover-up of scientific fraud, for their protection of pedophiles, and for the criminal employment of child molesters. If a cadre of true patriots can be awakened to organize the lobby and lobby for the greatest generation, all things are possible. One, we can demand that an honest judge subpoena the Institute's records and investigate these crimes. Simultaneously, we urgently need to recall all victimized test subjects and their family members to contact the court. Two, we can demand that the American Law Institute, ALI, revisit all legal precedent that relied on skewed Keynesian data. Hundreds of decisions in the ALI model penal code turned on Kinsey Institute lies. The ALI and the American Psychiatric Association and the American Psychological Association and our law schools have a clear moral and legal obligation to revisit and revise or abolish all the policies and laws that are based on Kinsey's frauds. We can demand, number three, we can demand that Congress investigate the Kinsey Institute and its funders, both philanthropic organizations and government agencies that supported his frauds. Clearly, Kinsey and his successors violated grants and the public trust working on systemic, financial, political, and personal conflicts of interest, colluding with lobbyists and advocates for example, Big Pharma and Big Pornography, which also donate to the Institute. Further, the Institute used medications, pornography, and other substances in violation of grant terms. Four, we can demand that our elected representatives divest from funding schools at any level if any curricula includes Kinsey-based sex education or sexuality courses, including those conducted by Planned Parenthood and CECUS. We can demand that Kinsey-type sex ed be eliminated from our schools, churches, and temples. We can rewrite letters to our newspapers about Kinsey's influence. We can call radio talk programs and TV talk shows. We can join political, religious, and community national, and international organizations that work to reestablish the values of the greatest generation. Key Tom lawsuits, Lincoln's Law, on behalf of the state. Egregious frauds perpetrated by the Kinsey Institute, as well as Planned Parenthood, CECUS, and others, make these organizations vulnerable to class action lawsuits and to legal action under provisions of the Whistleblowers Act. Bolstered by congressional amendments in 1986, this law arms private citizens with a weapon to prosecute contractors who defraud the government. It was signed into law by President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. Key Tam lawsuits. I know I'm butchering that word, but I don't recognize it. Key Tam lawsuits allow citizens who have independent and direct knowledge of such fraud to sue on behalf of the government. The citizens who sue share in the financial recovery. The 1986 amendment defines a claim as any request or demand which is made to a contractor, grantee, or other recipient if the United States government provides any portion of the money or property which is requested or demanded, or if the government will reimburse such contractor, grantee, or other recipient of any portion of the money or property which is requested or demanded. Key Tam cases generally involved accusations of false claims that someone directly or indirectly presents to the government for payment or approval. Examples of false claims include submissions of false records, statements, or other fraudulent representations. The Kinsey Institute, Planned Parenthood, the Secus, and other, for example, generated false claims by holding themselves out to the state as experts, and often obtaining federal and state funds based on their submitting false data, information, records, statements, and other representations about their aims, missions, and accomplishments. The Kinsey lobby, which has committed egregious fraud for 60 years, is certainly vulnerable to grassroots lawsuits under the False Claims Acts and key provisions. Consider that $667 million in the fiscal year 2004 was recovered under the False Claims Act. This was down from more than $2 billion recovered in fiscal year 2003. The total amount recovered in 2004 by plaintiffs for malpractice under key time provisions of the False Claim Act was $554 million. In cases that the Department of Justice entered or otherwise pursued, the amount recovered by the DOJ was $8 billion. $4,704 cases have been filed to date. Total awards to individuals when government declined to intervene in a case was $92.15 million. You can learn more about whistleblowers' victories and key TAM law at www.governmentalfraud.us/cases and www.governmentalfraud.us/contact. Action item 4, resurrect the Kinsey bill. A fair and impartial investigation of the Kinsey Institute at local, state, and federal levels would lead to ending government funding of all Kinsey-based institutions, from the Kinsey Institute to research entities in higher education, and from Planned Parenthood, Secus, and their ilk to sex ed in local classrooms. Further, such an investigation would lead to prosecutions for defrauding the government, taxpayers, and the general public. I encourage you to pressure your legislators to support formation of such an investigative body. Action item 5, call a traitor a traitor. Not going to be able to get through this book. Not today anyways. I mean, I might finish it up after Judson gets through. I don't know. I just have to see. Probably have to finish it up after I get done with Judd. Action item 5, call a traitor a traitor. On June 3rd, 2005, Human Events, the nation's oldest conservative weekly, asked a panel of 15 conservative scholars and public policy leaders to list the 10 most harmful books of the 19th and 20th centuries. Their first three picks were the works of infamous psychopathic foreign tyrants who penned secularist status books in order to change the world. They were The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, 1848, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, 1925, and Quotations from Chairman Mao by Mao Zedong, 1967. Their fourth selection was Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, 1948, and the foremost American book written to alter the world drastically. Kinsey, like Marx, Hitler, and Mao, sought to deliberately destroy a nation's moral and religious inheritance. All four men attacked marriage and the family, the authority of a productive, providing father and a married mother. Only Kinsey additionally attacked the sexual innocence and sanctity of childhood. All four books are anti-parent, anti-God, anti-manifesto. I'm sorry, anti-God manifestos. But foreign-born Marx, Hitler, and Mao at least railed against their nation's misery and corruption. Kinsey and his co-conspirators, on the other hand, conspired to destroy the most successful, prosperous republic in human history and turn the American people against themselves and their own stabilizing institutions of family and church by libeling the greatest generation and its priceless historical legacy. A summary. Create an act of legislative supporters, title, to determine if Alfred Kinsey's sexual behavior in the human male and or sexual behavior in the human female are the result of any fraud or criminal wrongdoing. Summary. This act directs the Comptroller General to conduct a study to determine whether programs, lectures, texts, or other periodical materials involving sexually used by agents, universities, or elementary and secondary school institutions that receive federal funds for educational purposes significantly or particularly rely on the scholarship of direct, directly or indirectly consisting of or based on the studies entitled Sexual Behavior of the Human Male and Sexual Behavior of the Human Female, authored by Alfred Kinsey and his team of researchers, published in 1948 and 1953. Kinsey reports authorized the General Accounting Office to reevaluate whether the contents of the Kinsey reports are erroneous, wrongfully obtaining by reason of fraud or criminal wrongdoing, i.e. systemic sexual abuse of children, or both. Directs, number one, the Comptroller General to complete such study and report to the Congress by date, and to the Secretary of the Education if the Comptroller General's determination is the affirmation to assure that this year and all subsequent fiscal years, no federal funds are provided to any persons or institutions for any educational purpose which construct in Kinsey's work. Derivative Kinseyan scholars or scholarship without it, indicating the unethical and tainted nature of the Kinsey report, directs the Chief Executive Office of the State involved to certify to the Secretary which such agencies or school programs cite such materials. To determine if Alfred Kinsey's sexual behavior in the human male and or sexual behavior in the human female are the result of any fraud or criminal wrongdoing. Well, I've only got, I don't know, it seems about 3 pages left, but I will read them after I finish doing with Judd, and everybody can hear the rest of it next week. So I'm going to take a short 3-minute break, and well, as I mentioned to Annie, I finished up with Judd with him, and then I got a little something to eat, so I'm going to finish this book out. Don't want to wait until next week to only finish up 2 or 3 pages. Why did the 15 human events scholars select sexual behavior in the human male to join Marx, Hitler, and Mao on this list? Question mark. As we now know, Kinsey's 1948 fraud in print hit like an academic H-bomb, spreading distrust, division, divorce, and degeneracy across America, like a radioactive dust, firing his data at the nation less than 3 years after our GIs returned home. Kinsey's attack caught Americans totally off guard and fueled a massive breakdown in faith, marriage, and family. It produced a socio-sexual toxins in the body politic that spread virulently and poisoned the minds and bodies of American men, women, and children unto the current generation. All normal people would consider Kinsey's grotesque self-abuses several degrees past abnormal, beyond even mild psychopathology. Yet academic, legal, and judicial America accepted this man as its hero. And then they followed him off the moral cliff, pulling the public over with them. To engineer the destruction of one's country, to betray one's country, is to commit treason. Having witnessed it, outstanding, and now we should demand correction of the historical record about Alfred Kinsey. I accuse Kinsey and the Kinsey Institute and Indiana University and his co-conspirators of committing treason against the United States. They spread black propaganda, which they designed to undermine America's common law, sexual morality, and social fabric in the service of their mad eugenic vision of global control. Though we know that the Kinsey Institute has censored all of the Kinsey's correspondence, Kinsey almost certainly wrote something about World War II. If his letters reveal, as I believe they do, fascist sympathies, the Kinsey Institute certainly would have hidden or possibly destroyed them. Paul Gebhardt said of Kinsey's biographer, James Jones can see the stuff that's previously looked over. He got to see some of the correspondence, but I ran ahead of him and made sure to abstract anything that was confidential. What exactly was confidential? Material that Gebhardt ran ahead and made sure to abstract. What did Kinsey really write in those hidden thousands of letters? Did materials implicate Kinsey in crimes and perfidy? What was the truth about Mike McShee? Kinsey's sexual sadist partner, who committed suicide. Gathorn Hardy speculated that Mike's letters may have been too open about the filming, or was Mike too open about Kinsey's crimes against children? What are the red binders that contain mega molester Rex King's descriptions of sexually tortured children for Kinsey? The Kinsey Institute illegally covers up Kinsey's crimes until a judge finally slaps an injunction on the Kinsey Institute and we acquire the hidden files. We will not know what its present staff conceals. James Jones made another revealing remark, writing to Glenn Ramsey, then a reluctant soldier. Kinsey said the war was a total waste of time, and he paid it no mind. Only a pathological person would mock the entire world's suffering with such a remark. A eugenicist, Kinsey, admired the notion of the Superman. Were there letters that exposed him as a Nazi sympathizer, or more? Where is Kinsey's correspondence with Rex Kings, his Nazi pedophile? Question mark. When did it begin? Question mark. He certainly was not a patriot. Kinsey clearly felt disdain for our boys overseas and for their loved ones at home. He cared not about their victims or defeats, casualties, or deaths. He had no interest in soldiers stranded in combat without gasoline. Further, there is no record of anyone among his staff felt concerned about soldiers or their families. And no one at the Kinsey Institute showed any desire for the defeat of the Axis powers or the victory of the Allies. Was Kinsey, like his Rockefeller patrons, unsure which side would win? Question mark. Could he have thought that if Hitler won, his work would receive continued support, greater funds, and more opportunity? Question mark. After all, psychopathic scientists such as Kinsey did well, unhindered under Hitler. Additional information about Kinsey's links to fascist and Hitler's henchmen suggest much is hidden. Jones said Kinsey's war interest was solely in ending American sexual morality. While the free world fought to survive, he waged his own private war against Victorian morality. He put everything he had into collecting data. His weapon of choice in the great war he had fashioned for himself. In their war, Kinsey and his cult set about to change the face of our nation, using their own covert but powerful weapons. They deliberately lied about and gutted the common law, morals of the greatest generation, and plotted to replace those values with their own immorality, with deviant anti-values. They purposefully undermined our nation's health, welfare, strength, and resolve. And was Kinsey's betrayal a violation of allegiance to his country? And that is treason, by definition. Our God-given obligation and privilege. Painting the greatest generation's traditional values as promiscuous depravity, Kinsey and his team defamed our moral heritage as sexual hypocrisy. We have watched as the children of our World War II heroes believed that Kinsey slander revolted against all moral authority and decay into sex, drugs, and rock and roll generation of the 60s. They went on to our parent Shapiro's porn generation, but steeped in adult and kiddie porn, and now parenting the child sex abuse generation. Before Kinsey, Americans were normally sexually literate and aware of sex as belonging in love and marriage. Post-Kinsey, we are certainly sexually illiterate. If we measure literacy by rates of illegitimacy, abortion, STDs, sex crimes, and divorce, how can we say with a straight face that our pre-Kinsey sexual repression was harmful and our modern liberation healthy? Can we say with a straight face that our health is evident in promiscuity that knows no bounds, such that men and women of every socioeconomic, irreligious, religious, political, racial, and educational level are increasingly caught up in sexual abuse? Question mark. Indeed, we are becoming degenerate, perverse, and violent. We have lost our virtue, The fact that Kinsey's deviants and psychopaths betrayed our nation, seducing us into hate America, and the gutting of moral system that had brought our nation unparalleled health and prosperity, and into rejecting our traditional moral standards with dishonest, mendacious research and a secret psychosexual agenda. Kinsey and his cadre of eugenicists led the sexual revolution to eliminate babies, love, and family, to destroy our God-based morals, and to allow unfettered access to our bodies and minds of innocent children. But take heart, knowledge is power. We have it. We know the enemy, and we know what is right and true. We can use this knowledge to set the record straight about Kinsey, about the sexologist, about the danger they've done to children and generations, to our parents and grandparents. We can use this knowledge, and we should. This is our call, our obligation to the greatest generation, to the men and women who gave their lives that we might live in freedom. Let's do it, America.